It's just about 9 o'clock, straight up, maybe a hair past, at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, where for this next hour programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. That said, though, it's time for Talking Animals. KUCI.
Thank you.
listening to music from Jimmy Smith with a song called Back at the Chicken Shack as we slide into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, streaming live, of course, on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada, the whole, some other word that would go along with those, is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love to get calls here at Talking Animals. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our website at talkinganimals.net. That's right. It's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another provocative edition of the Serena Sharp Show. And meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a nice balance, really, of those elements, but clearly the heart of the program, and every show, by the way, we ever broadcast is archived on our nifty website at talkinganimals.net. Again, .net, folks, is the interview that we conduct each week with an array of notable folks who inhabit some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Cheryl Barnes, an author and illustrator who, along with her husband Peter Barnes, has written a children's book called President Adams, possessive, Adams, Alligator, and Other White House Pets. And the book not only focuses on animals and features some just really wonderful, brightly colored illustrations of assorted critters, but it also is clearly designed to educate children about voting, government, and the political process, an objective of many of the Barnes' previous books. And when we hear Talking Animals, heartily endorse, of course. So we'll hear all about this book, what led to the idea for it. Turns out there have been some pretty darn interesting animals in the White House over the years, and we aren't necessarily referring to any particular president, of course. It's not really an editorial comment there, but there'll be plenty of them along the way. Just you wait. Stay tuned. So, of course, also what messages can be gleaned from the book by both kids and adults when we speak with Cheryl Barnes in just a few moments here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, observations, and, of course, any stories you might have spotted that are animal-rated that we should be aware of. All of those things, and more perhaps, would be most welcome at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news, typically these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight and, with any luck, to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in your calendar. We have even an announcement to do beyond that today. So, all right then. I think you know what's coming next. That's right. Let's talk turkey, as it were. All right, starting off, just want to tell you about this cool thing called the War on Wildlife. It's a conference that's being presented this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, by PAWS, which in this case stands for the Performing Animal Welfare Society, and an amazing organization, been around probably a better part of 20 years or so, and they run three different sanctuaries in California. And this one's going to be held in their one in San Andreas, California, called ARC 2000. It's an amazing 2,300-acre sanctuary, and they've got some really cool elephants that live there now. And one of the reasons I mentioned this conference is just interesting generally, but also for months and months and months, just about every week, we talked about tiger rescue and that whole awful, crazy situation there. So one kind of cool thing about this conference is it culminates with the dedication of a new 10-acre tiger habitat, where all the remaining tigers at Tiger Rescue will be relocated. So, anyways, that's really cool, and I'm off to head up to that later today. So I'll have a report on the conference and the tiger habitat and anything else that's notable that comes along next week on Talking Animals. Here's a very local story that's very awful. That's the way we like to introduce things, you know, and again, some of these are come, of course, from our award-winning Rip and Read news department. This is from Saturday's Daily Pilot. In Costa Mesa, no less, where I reside, so of course I couldn't be more proud about this on a number of levels. Police officers Thursday fired 13 rounds at a pit bull, which came charging at an officer who was chasing two fleeing teenagers in a residential neighborhood, officials said. Eight of those bullets hit the dog, killing it instantly, police said. The boys had been stopped by a motorcycle officer near the intersection of Princeton Drive, blah, 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 you know, et cetera, et cetera. And they chased, you know, the teens kind of, you know, made a run for it, basically. So the officers chased them and went into this backyard to arrest the teens. And then that's where the story picks up. So there's a police officer or spokesman being quoted here. That's where they saw two pit bulls, he said. One of them was larger and more aggressive and charged at Wiesner. That's one of the officers, biting him in the thigh. The dog released the officer momentarily, but furiously charged back the second time, Fitzpatrick said. This time, both officers drew their weapons, fired simultaneously, and shot the dog. And it goes on from there, I suppose. But I think we've covered the pertinent points. Did I cover the part that 13 rounds were fired into this dog? Okay, excellent. All right, well, hopefully that was sufficient. Apparently it was. So, anyway, got a little announcement from one of our regular listeners, Julie, who has provided all kinds of cool story ideas and items for the news and whatever. And it's sort of unusual, but I think, you know, wholly in keeping with what we do and sort of advocate here to talk in. So it's sort of a job announcement, but it's for this really cool pet store in Fountain Valley, right near our KUCI studios. It's down the road a piece, basically. It's called Pet Supply, and they're looking for positive, friendly, outgoing people with pet retail experience who enjoy helping others. I must mention that you have to be able to lift 40 pounds, but otherwise, it's, you know, it's like a cool place, and it's large, successful one, Julie says, but it's totally independent. So it's not part of, you know, if you have a problem with Petco or some of those chain operations, which many people in the animal world do for all kinds of reasons. This is just an indie place, but a cool place. So anyway, it's called Pet Supply. It's on Brookhurst in Fountain Valley. And if you want to find out more, you can call them 714-964-5585. Come on, we're full service here at Talk Animals, are we not? All right. Correct. Also local. I'm trying to do a little more local for the first half of the news. So coming up May 22nd, into this week, there's a dog fundraiser in Costa Mesa's Fairview Park. Friend Fundraising Committee will hold the third annual Paws Around the Park fundraiser. The event will give individuals and families with dogs an opportunity to walk the trails and pledge funds for a dog drinking fountain at the park. Prizes will be awarded to the three people who collect the most pledges. 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. is when the event takes place. Registration for the dog walk is $10. Fairview Park is on Placentia Avenue near Estancia High School. Information either 714-754-5698 or on the web at cmfairviewpark.org. 714-754-5698. Or cmfairviewpark.org. Time for our mid-animal news quick quiz, instant quiz. It's one true-false question. And the person who calls in with the correct answer, the first person, here's the thing, you have to be the first person and you have to have the correct answer. Is that asking too much? I don't think so. So, and if you are that person, here's among the prizes you could choose from. all kinds of cool t-shirts from various animal organizations. The most recent, which is from the Elephant Sanctuary, which if someone doesn't grab soon, I may grab, being a complete animate elephant freak. Also a copy of Shirley MacLaine's book that, of course, was co-written by her dog. The dog actually writes a little better than Shirley, I have to say, but, you know, everybody has their own talents. She probably acts better than the dog, so that all evens out. We also have just some basic lint rollers, which are good if you have any kind of pets around your house. Get that, hair off the furniture, the clothes, etc. A CD by Ian Anderson, frontman, singer, songwriter of Jethro Tull, but put out another solo album a few months back that had a few animal songs on. He's actually a big animal guy with quite a bit of expertise, as it turns out. We had him on the show several months ago, so we got a copy of his CD, Rupee's Dance. They have a copy of the book For Bee, the story of the beagle who changed my life. Really, really cool book. We have the author of that, Kristen von Kreutzer, on the show as well. It was about a rescued former experimental lab beagle and sort of the trials and tribulations of trying to domesticate that critter after everything it had been through. But really cool story. And we've got jewelry, handcrafted necklaces with charms of an elephant or a rattlesnake or a dolphin. We've got leashes. We've got safety collars. We've got stuffed toys. We've got an umbrella. We've got a windbreaker. All right, so you know what I'm saying? This isn't just bunk. We're not talking about prizes. Keep that in mind now for our quiz, and keep that in mind later when we get into a Name That Animal tune. All right? So here's the question. True, false? If you know the answer, call in 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. Here we go. The fishing cat taps the water gently to attract the fish with the ripples. Once the fish comes to investigate, the cat grabs the fish with its long claws and throws it onto the ground. True, false? 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. Hell, even if you just want to call in and guess, what, you got a 50-50 shot at it? So, read it for you one more time. The fishing cat taps the water gently to attract a fish with the ripples. Once the fish comes to investigate, the cat grabs the fish with its long claws and throws it onto the bank. True, false? All right, moving along. Got another moment or two, and then we're getting into the comedy corner, and then our guest, Cheryl Barnes. So we might just do one more, and if we have time later, we'll come back to some more. But it's pretty interesting. In Southern California, rattlesnake encounters are common. Calm reactions are not. That goes for animals as well as humans, which is why Patrick Callahan is a busy, busy man. A professional dog trainer since the 60s, Callahan has been conducting rattlesnake avoidance clinics for more than 20 years, primarily for dogs, but also for horses, llamas, goats, and cats. Almost every weekend, you can find him somewhere in the Southland at dog clubs, kennels, and ranches. He's anywhere snakes and civilization collide. Quote, especially now because of the fires, rattlesnakes have been really pushed, and we've been hearing more about sightings of rattlesnakes than we've heard about in years. So Callahan has been told about rattlesnakes on golf courses and in trees by big retail outlets. Of course, they live at all elevations, from sea level to the mountains, prairie land to desert, etc. So basically he'll train your dog in particular, but those other animals as well, how to avoid having a problem with those rattlesnakes. And he actually uses live rattlesnakes that are milked and defanged to teach the animals how to do it without obviously any great risk. So anyways, some of those are coming up June 19th at the Australian Shepherd Club of Southern California in Moore Park. Also in the Gameland Kennels in Norco, June 26, 27. And in Santa Clarita at a private residence, actually, in July 10th or 11th. So call us here for more information about how to, you know, follow up on specific classes if you'd like. 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. So again, hopefully we'll come back to some more news items or announcements if we have time later in the show. But meanwhile, if there are ever news stories or announcements or events, even anything like the job opening that Julie sent us, you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. And if you have any more animal quiz questions or things that could be constructed into quiz questions, that'd be great too, because we're just about the end of our line of a really great set that we were provided some time ago by another regular listener. So that email again, talkinganimals@AOL.com, and please remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site at www.talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net. And sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows, assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around that site. Jump in, will you? It's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which is always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. But today's Comedy Corner is a little different, and not of sorts, the focus of our interview in a few minutes being a children's book. So this is from an obscure CD I found by Mel Blanc. It, of course, was the voice of Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, and really all the great Looney Tunes characters, including Daffy Duck. Indeed, this is a nutty little tune called Daffy's Rhapsody by Mel Blanc on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
Greetings. My name is Daffy. There's no other duck like me because I'm so daffy. And the reason I'm daffy and so gosh darned riff-raffy and so screwy and laffy is because those hunters won't leave me alone. Oh, why don't they hunt some other animal for a change? So that I won't have to end up on a kitchen range. But no, duck hunting's all a rage and they won't let me be. And I'm so full of bullets, I'm lit up like a Christmas tree. There's so much I'd like to do if I just had the chance. I'd like to play and romp and even sing and do a dance. I would read the latest book, go swimming in a babbling brook. I'd like to fly the seven seas, play hide and seek among the trees. I'd play hopscotch and double dutch and this and that and things and such. I know that isn't asking much, but all these things I dasn't touch. It's bang bang here and bang bang there, bullets flying everywhere. I can't stand it any longer, I get weak and they get stronger. Hunters to the right of me, hunters to the left I see. Over hill and over dale, bullets whizzing past my tail. There's no rest and there's no peace. Won't this shooting ever cease? Morning, noon, and through the night. That's why I look such a fright. Bang, bang, bang. I'm only 16 yards ahead. Bang, bang, bang. They're shooting straight at me. Hoo, hoo, hoo. They won't let up until I'm dead. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Why can't they let me be? Why don't they hunt big wild moose or chase a reindeer on the loose? If possum, chipmunk, caribou, a rabbit for a rabbit stew. Raccoon, squirrels, porcupine, monkey swinging on the vine. Leopards with or without spots, wildcats with or without dots. Elephants, badgers, kangaroo, lions, tigers, cows that moo. Wolf, mice, and prairie ox, red and gray and silver fox. Daffy, they drive me daffy. Those hunters with their great big guns, they're all their uncles, cousins, fathers, sons, crazy. They got me hazy with all that rootin', footin', hootin', tootin', highfalutin', noisy shooting closer. They're getting closer with shotguns, pistols, bows and arrows, rifles, knives. Another deadly trifle scram now. While I'm still able, you're nuts if you think that I'm gonna end up on somebody's dinner table. So goodbye. So long now.
All right, that was the late Mel Blanc with a ditty called Daffy's Rhapsody, taken from his CD entitled Party Panic. Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals, KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at www.kuci.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way, and some of you perhaps arrived through our swell website at talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. And Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Cheryl Barnes, an author and illustrator who, along with her husband Peter Barnes, has written a children's book called President Adams' Alligator and Other White House Pets. The book not only offers neat and interesting information about the animals that various presidents had living with them or near them in the White House, and some just really lovely, wonderful illustrations that Cheryl did, but the book also has other educational things on its mind, which is another reason I wanted to speak with one or both Barnes. So let's welcome Cheryl Barnes to Talking Animals. Cheryl, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Duncan.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Talking Animals today.
I'm delighted to be there.
Great. Well, I'm eager and delighted also to delve into the book, President Adams' Alligators and Other White House Pets, momentarily. But it's sort of a foregone conclusion here on Talking Animals that that we always are interested to hear about someone's history and the path that led them to their work with animals frequently, or in this case, at least writing and illustrating a string of children's books about, with at least, and about animals. So let me just ask you this to start off. Have animals always sort of been important to you, either in your work and or in your life?
Animals have always been important. I was always the kid that would bring home, you know, the bird with the broken wing or the turtle that, you know, we found on the side of the road. So I always had lots of critters around growing up and, you know, always at least five animals of some sort.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what would be a random, like, what would be some of those five at any given point along the way?
Well, when my kids were growing up, and I actually lived in Southern California and in Santa Monica area.
Oh, wow.
I had three horses, two dogs, and five cats.
Wow.
And two kids.
Well, okay. That's almost an afterthought. It sounds like a kid's part. Yeah.
Yeah.
So long-time animal lover. So I guess because what I was interested in terms of getting into to writing and especially in your case illustrating children's books. I mean, so was animals then always just sort of like? I mean, obviously a lot of children's books focus on animals, but it sounded like you were always sort of coming at it from an animal lover's perspective, no matter what else the book might have been about.
Well, Duncan, that's not really the case.
No?
When we started to do children's books, I remember when I did one of our very first books about actually my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to come up with an animal that would be good for the pet book. So, I mean, for the book, teaching mm-hmm. kids about Alexandria, Virginia, like a little souvenir book.
Okay.
And I went to the city archaeologist and I said, look, I'd really like it to be an animal because, you know, kids, adults relate to animals. What animal should I pick as the, you know, the protagonist here? And the city archaeologist said, absolutely, it's got to be a mouse because when we do excavations, we find mice skeletons everywhere. So mice obviously were over things, under things, around things. And of course, you know, Mickey Mouse didn't do so bad. So I figured, you know, we would use a mouse.
Sure.
And then I got pretty good at drawing mice. So mice started to be the character of choice, the animal of choice when it came to our children's book.
I see.
So we did House Mouse, Senate Mouse, about teaching kids about the Capitol, you know, the House side. We have a House Mouse, Senate Mouse. The House Mouse was actually the squeaker of the House, and the Senate side was the Senate Mouse Majority Leader. So,
wow.
You know, we wanted to make it fun for kids, and then we have Woodrow, the White House Mouse, teaching kids all about the White House and, you know, really the job of the president, and Marshall, the Courthouse Mouse, teaching kids about the Supreme Court and constitutional law. Imagine that. And then the First Lady called through her representatives a couple years ago and asked me to do a children's little program, a White House Christmas program, and the theme was going to be All Creatures Great and Small.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided she wanted it to be about teaching kids all about all the pets that have lived in the White House ever
sure.
since George Washington's day. So I just jumped into that and really did a lot of research, and 6 months later had come up with this about 18-page little program, Christmas program, teaching kids all about the pets of the White House.
Wow. And so I guess through the course of that research, I mean, your focus at that point, of course, was doing the program, but along the way, you know, was there sort of an aha moment, like,
yes.
Holy cow, the program's going to be great, but there's actually a book here.
Definitely. And, you know, there have been a lot of books done on the kids of the White House and the pets of the White House, but they're all black and white, you know, and lots of words and lots of black and white photographs, but nothing that ever really would appeal to elementary children.
Yeah.
And just really take it down to a level that would make it fun and interesting, because I think what we're finding throughout America is that kids really aren't interested in history. as much as they used to be. Mm-hmm. They're not interested in government as much as they used to be. And I figure, heck, we're going to try to make it fun any way we can to engage them. And then they'll take that jump into the, you know, the more black and white, boring textbooks, if you may.
Yeah, they can always get into that. But, yeah. Well, that's great, because it sounded like from what you said before, and I was going to get into that later, but we can get into it now, that really, you know, a big objective of all the children's books that you have done, or you and your husband have done, really has been to really introduce, you know, that information about how voting works, how election process works, and cultivating that interest very, very young.
And make it fun. I was learning disabled as a child. I'm dyslexic. Hmm. We raised a dyslexic child, an ADD child, and we just wanted to make, it was so hard, it was torture at times to read. We just, as parents, just decided that we wanted to make it fun for our daughter Maggie. Mm-hmm. And I really thought back about how I did not have fun learning, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade reading. So we just tried to approach it in a different way. And, of course, our books rhyme, with the exception of our President Adams Alligator.
Yeah.
Our other books rhyme, so that makes it fun, too, for kids.
Sure. So then, really, was it kind of just a direct offshoot of Maggie or your own direct experience that you said, hey, you know what, if we do this right, now it can be fun and colorful, but maybe we can really cultivate this interest in the election process and voting and how that works. Yeah.
Exactly. For instance, I don't know, depending on time, I would love to read a couple, like a half a page, which isn't much, just some of the rhyming verse, just depending on time, though.
Sure, sure. Well, no, I'd say, well, I'll tell you what, I want to just do a bit more on the current book, and then let's come back to that, because
sure.
I would love to do that as well. But just because, again, well, you know, it's an animal show. We got to focus on our White House animals and other things. Just because I found it so interesting, you know, I mean, as you were doing this, you know, first of all, was there, you know, a president or a few presidents where you thought, oh my God, what a wild or nutty group of animals? I mean,
there's quite
Teddy Roosevelt, for example, I was sort of blown away. I mean, anybody that struck you particularly, like, holy cow, this guy was really, an animal nut.
He was an animal, he was a great hunter, but he loved animals at the same time.
Yeah.
And his kids loved animals. He built a barn on the south lawn. It was a beautiful brick barn.
Yeah.
And boy, that barn was filled with animals. Teddy Roosevelt gave their boys a pony called Algonquin.
Yeah.
And Algonquin not only stayed in the barn, but he actually visited the White House as well and went upstairs to one of the boys' rooms when he was sick.
In the elevator, no less.
In the elevator.
Right?
And the elevator was brand new. So the boys thought, hey, let's take him up into the elevator. Those boys also loved, there was Quentin and Kermit and Archibald, okay? And they were just really, I wouldn't say bad, but they were bordering bad.
Oh, yeah.
And they pulled a lot of pranks. They used to love to take snakes in a burlap bag and take them into their dad's office when he was having a big meeting, and one of the boys would just throw them out on the desk. And Teddy Roosevelt would laugh. He just thought it was hilarious, but everybody would run for the hills because
horrified.
Of all the snakes.
Yeah, for sure.
So they just had a ball with all the pets, and they had big, big dogs and little tiny, tiny dogs and six-toed cats and... the dogs really were not well behaved. They would bite a lot of the visitors as well. So Teddy Roosevelt had a lot of fun with pets at the White House. Abraham Lincoln bought his son Tad to make him feel better because his other son had died. And so Tad was grieving over the loss of his brother. So Abraham Lincoln bought two goats called Nanny and Nanko. And Tad used to tie them up with a rope onto a chair and literally be whisked through the White House halls being pulled by Nanny and Nanko. And once Mrs. Lincoln was having a big kind of party, she was a kind of a wannabe social lady in Washington, and she was having this tea, and here comes Tad with the goats going through the party. The ladies are, you know, their dresses are being brushed by these goats, mm-hmm. and everybody was absolutely appalled by these two goats. But Lincoln, of course, stood in the corner and laughed. He thought it was just so funny that his son would pull such a prank.
Sure. Well, that sounds like there was no shortage of amusing. I mean, Calvin Coolidge, you know, it sounded like another guy that had a lot of animals, some of which I guess got sort of quickly relocated
to the zoo.
But also, you got to love a guy who has a raccoon named Rebecca.
Exactly. He loved Rebecca, and Mrs. Coolidge would truly have all the animals sitting around the table at night.
And the birds, I guess, flew free around the White House? Well, those are our kind of people.
Yeah, and the maids were really creeped out by the birds, but, you know, they had to do what they had to do to get the job done.
That's right.
But the animals ruled the roost with the Coolidge family.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, let me just tell our listeners, this is Cheryl Barnes, who has co-written with her husband, President Adam's Alligator and Other White House Pets. And if any listeners have any questions for Cheryl about this book or any of the previous children's book, and we're going to hear a little excerpt from one of those in a moment or two, we're at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI. KUCI. So let me ask you this, Cheryl. In the course of researching or just otherwise preparing the book, and actually really started, of course, with researching the program, did you start to see any kind of, I don't know if I would say as strong as patterns, but any kind of like connection, like playing armchair analyst, was there a certain kind of president or presidential personality that tended to kind of match up with either certain animals or a certain number of animals or lack of animals for that matter?
You know, there are very few presidents didn't have animals.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I could say that I saw a pattern.
Yeah.
But I really didn't. You know, some of the presidents that you think were very stern and didn't have good sense of humors.
I mean,
you know, for instance, George Washington, you see him in all those photographs. He was always looking very stern. General, just a real serious guy. He took his job very seriously. But when he was alone, when he was riding his horse, Old Nelson, or when he was out taking walks, I mean, he took his dogs. One of his dogs' name was Madame Moose. Another dog was Sweet Lips. I mean, you don't see George Washington.
That's the other side of George, yeah.
Yeah, you just don't see the names.
Can you hold on one sec, Cheryl? I think we might have a caller. Hold on one sec.
Great.
Hi, you're on live on the air at KUCI. It's Talking Animals with Cheryl Barnes.
I have a question for Cheryl, if she can take it.
Sure, great. Cheryl, you're game to take a question, are you? Cheryl? Oh.
Hello?
Okay. Sorry, I think we may have lost Cheryl momentarily, so...
Do I stand by or call back?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Stand by. I'm going to get Cheryl back online again, and we'll pick right up where we left off. Don't go away.
Okay,
so give us a moment here. We'll get Cheryl right back on the line. Cheryl, are you back with us?
Sure am.
Great. Okay, well, I think we may have lost our caller, but we'll get her back hopefully. And meanwhile, we'll just sort of pick up where we left off. And again, any other callers or listeners who'd like to join us, it's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So in addition to sort of the other side of George Washington, anything else that kind of struck you either as surprising or just notable about some of the presidential types with their animals or their behavior with their animals?
Well, I do have a funny story about one of our forefathers, Thomas Jefferson. You know, here is the guy that sat down and really developed kind of the whole concept of our independence from England and writing that Declaration of Independence. He had his favorite pet was a mockingbird named Dick. And Dick would literally sit on his shoulders day after day after day. He would actually eat food out of Thomas Jefferson's lips. That's the only way he would eat.
Wow.
When Thomas Jefferson would go to bed at night, Dick would just, you know, scamper behind him and then go up and jump on the bed and just sit there and, stand watch while Thomas Jefferson slept. But Thomas Jefferson, really was a fun-loving guy. You don't really think of him in those terms. He loved good food. He loved good wine. He loved his animal Dick.
I just thought that
was, very interesting. I think that, Eisenhower, is another interesting fellow. He had, some Scotties. He also had a Weimaraner, but he used to love to play golf on the South Lawn. and the squirrels would drive him absolutely crazy. He had a couple of them that he befriended that always would seem to just follow him around, but most of them he had removed so he could play golf on the South Lawn. So Eisenhower, some of the stories that I've read are quite funny.
That's great.
With regard to trying to get rid of the squirrels and having them always come back.
That's funny. I think, I don't know, we'll see if it's the same call or not, but it looks like we do have a caller. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
Don't go away. Let's just say that, Joe.
I will stay right here.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI with Cheryl Barnes. It's Talking Animals.
Yes, hi. I have a question for Cheryl.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry. This sounds like the caller that we lost. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened before, but now we're all together. You're on with Cheryl.
Hi.
Hi, Cheryl, your book sounds so interesting. I was wondering, I'm calling from Canada. Do you know if they're available in the Canadian market?
They are. I think if you just go to Barnes & Noble or a Borders.
We don't have those here, but we have Chapters and we do have a, I don't know if we have a Borders, but otherwise they are available. That's the main thing. I can find
them.
Duncan?
And I think Chapters is a counterpart to Borders, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, so is it really?
Well,
okay.
I would think a basic search, a Google or something would put you there for the Canadian. There's got to be at least one or more online Canadian distributors.
And we could also just give our website.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, I should have done that before now anyway.
That's
so.
All right. Thank you.
I'll jot it down. Do you have it handy?
It is. It's www.vspbooks.com. Now, VSP stands for Very Special Publications. VSP Books.
VSP, okay. VSP Books. Okay,
VSP.
Done.
VSP as in person.
Right.
Oh, got
or
it.
As in publication, I guess,
yeah,
actually.
VSP.
Okay, well, that's great. They sound really fun and interesting. Thank you very much.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
thanks
bye.
For calling. Bye-bye. So cool, Cheryl. Well, yeah, this is, I mean, that's kind of some of the stuff that I think is interesting to those who are particularly animal-oriented, is to really see, like, a side of some of these presidents, especially if they seem kind of, a little more serious or staid, and then it turns out that there was a whole much more playful.
Well, I think, too, when you think about the job as a president, I mean, I live right here in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and I actually have had the opportunity to meet our president many times, and President Clinton, I've had a number of conversations with him.
Mm.
They have such a high-intensity life that I think animals are one way, because these animals don't care who they are. And so it's one way for them to feel normal.
Sure.
Barney, for instance, who is President George W.'s black dog.
Yeah.
Barney is a very funny dog. When the president calls to Barney, and this is, of course, in front of the media, Barney runs in the opposite direction. You know, Barney's been known to snap at at him, and he's just, he doesn't care. And I think George W. appreciates that.
Yeah.
He just doesn't care who he is.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's just probably keeps everybody a little more sort of grounded in the ball game. Yeah, so
a little humble.
Yeah.
And that's what we all need.
Sure, sure. Well, also, too, another, we kind of touched on this, but another really important aspect of the book, President Adams' Alligator and Other White House Pets, is really, again, trying to impart the information that interests kids in voting in the election process. So kind of in this case, the book itself was really kind of informing the kids and set up by Mrs. Tucker as the class that the book describes.
Yeah.
So the people in that class hear all about the presidential pets, but so obviously do the people reading it. And then the other kind of neat thing is that there's really, the premise of the book sort of partly is that after everybody hears about all the presidential animals, the kids in Mrs. Tucker's class vote on who their favorite is. But that if you're actually reading the book, there's a ballot that you guys have provided at the back, and they get to vote and sort of explain why they like that pet the most. So again, it's really in a very cool way planting, like, this is how balloting works, this is how voting works, this is how you listen and decide. I mean, it's so great. And I guess since that's been part of your previous books as well, I mean, do you feel, to the extent you can even measure it, like, that you are indeed cultivating that interest? Do you think it is taking hold in the younger kids that are being exposed this way?
Well, the only thing that I can say is that I get a number of calls from all over the country. For instance, I'm going out to San Diego to speak to the teachers in San Diego County schools in, I think it's October, and they use my books a lot to teach about being a good citizen, about making choices, about being informed, about being involved with your government. So I guess I see by how the teachers use the books throughout the schools in America that it is making a difference. It makes
that's
it
great.
Fun for the teachers to teach.
Yeah. Well, that's so great because, gosh, just, you know, every you know, especially election year, but even just generally, yeah. I mean, just a week or two ago, front page in the LA Times, there was a story about this happened to be young sort of women in their 20s who are just feeling so disaffected and disconnected that they don't vote. And it's just
exactly.
like, you know, I mean, that's, you know, and so obviously what you're trying to do is like, hey, when you're a little kid, I mean, what's 6, 8 years old, or are these particularly, I guess, sort of aimed at, would you say?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, let's get interested and let's see that it can work, even if it's frustrating. And, you know, we all have,
right.
you know, problems with the results sometimes, but you still got to be engaged in the process. Yeah.
You have to make a choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you really don't have any right to complain.
Sure. Absolutely.
we can all complain.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So I guess just one other element of this. I mean, since we started off talking about your great love for and longstanding love for animals,
yeah.
how much importance do you place when you're putting these books together and trying to, you know, impart the sort of educational objective of, you know, let's say exposing people to kids to voting and that process. But how much also is like trying to emphasize the importance of animals and how important they are and how to treat animals as you put these books together?
Well, I wish I could say that I actually work on that message, but I don't. But I do have a cute story.
Okay.
When I was doing my House Mouse, Senate Mouse book, mm-hmm. I had a cat, Murphy. I had two cats that lived to be 23 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and my Murphy cat, he was a black cat with white tips, looked a lot like Sox, President Clinton's cat.
Yeah.
My black cat, Murphy, literally sat on my desk every single day, and he would sit on half my drawing, and I'd have to push him off my drawing to do some other part of my illustration. Well, Murphy, I kept on talking to Murphy and saying, Murphy, you have to stay alive, because he was getting old, mind you. I said, you have to stay alive till I finish these illustrations. Well, we finally had to put Murphy down, and the doctor told me just when the right time was. And so I told my husband that I wanted to dedicate my House Mouse, Senate Mouse book to Murphy. Murphy did not make it through all my drawings. I still had three left to do.
Mm.
Well, I told my husband I wanted to dedicate the book to him, and of course my husband was like, he loves animals, but he's like, what do you mean you want to dedicate it to a cat? I said, no, Murphy's got to be the person honored in this book. So he hemmed and hawed and said a little more than that, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to finish the book then. You can get somebody else to finish the book. If Murphy can't be dedicated, you know, the book can't be dedicated. Well, anyway,
wow, you're a tough negotiator.
I'm tough.
Yeah, yeah.
If you read in my House Mouse, Senate Mouse book, my 23-year-old cat, Murphy, got the dedication.
Oh, that's great. As well he should. Yeah.
As well he should.
Yeah.
And Murphy would never, toward the end of his life, and he was still very spry, almost to the end, Murphy would not even hurt a mouse. He was such a gentle, wonderful cat. So
that's neat. And that's so inspiring to actually hear about a cat that lived that long.
Two.
I know. That's amazing. Yeah. So.
And I had a black lab who just lived to 14, and a Doberman mix dog that lived to 17. So
wow.
My husband always says when he goes, he wants to come back as one of my animals.
I was just going to say, I obviously get the royal treatment and then some.
You do.
Wow. Well, Cheryl, we have probably just another minute or two left. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to have a time left to hear at least, like you said, a little portion of one of the earlier books. But I guess just one thing I want to make sure we emphasize, and I'm sure you can probably see it on your guys' website, which I want to give that address again. It's www.v as in Victor, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, books.com. And you can probably see, I would imagine, I haven't been there yet, but, you know, probably some of the illustrations on this and other books. But, I mean, they're just really great. They're gorgeous. And eventually, in another week or so, it'll be on our website, the TalkingAnimals.net website, when we have a little summary of all our guests and shows and stuff. But it's just gorgeous. And the president, you know, and I have to confess, in each illustration of at least the President Adams, the alligator, and other White House pets, there's supposed to be
an alligator.
And some of those illustrations, I have to go back and do some more research, because I couldn't find some of those gators. But
see, if you were 9 years old,
yeah,
or 8 years
probably
old, you'd find
it. I know. I need a consultant of a much younger.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So again, I just want to tell the readers and listeners again that it's President Adams, Alligator, and Other White House Pets. It's Cheryl Barnes, and let's kind of just maybe wind things down a little bit, Cheryl, with hearing a little bit of one of your earlier books.
I'm going to read a little bit about Woodrow for President, and that's about elections, how a president gets elected.
Great.
On January 20th, Inauguration Day, Woodrow stood before all to swear and to say He'd uphold and protect our great Constitution and each citizen's rights, a firm resolution. Once sworn in, he began his inaugural address, a speech to the nation, a way to express his plans and his dreams for all mice to share. And then he declared to mice everywhere, "Ask not what your nation can do for you," he said. "Ask what you can do for your nation instead, and for your community and neighbors so close, for your friends and your family. That's what matters most. Vote, get involved, volunteer, that's what's right. Be a good citizen, be your own point of light." The crowd cheered hooray for this wonderful mouse as he walked down the street to the famous White House, where Woodrow and Bess and the girls and the boys arrived with their suitcases, boxes, and toys to begin Woodrow's term, his administration, the hope of all mice, the hope of a nation.
Wow, great.
Thanks.
Very cool. That was fun.
Thanks.
Yeah, and again, I could see how that, again, just going to engage kids and just get them, you
know. Get them inspired.
Yeah, exactly. So that's cool. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much. Again, the book, one last time, is President Adams, Alligator and Other White House Pets, which really should be available at your favorite bookstore, either online or otherwise, or by visiting their website, again, vspbooks.com. So Cheryl Barnes, thanks again for joining us today on Talking Animals.
I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now.
Okay, that was Cheryl Barnes, obviously, and really, really, I mean, I can't emphasize how great also, too, the illustrations are, in addition to all the other, you know, the text and the messages and stuff. They're just really gorgeous. So, again, you can check that out on their website, vspbooks.com, and the cover of the current book, President Adams, Alligator and Other White House Pets, will be on our website, talkanimals.net, in the next, you know, few days or so, with our usual synopsis of each show that we do. So, so cool. That was fun to hear all about that. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irvine 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. I think you know the drill. It's like any other version of Name That Tune, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related in one way or another. So I'll play a little snippet. There'll be a prize for the first person who calls in. In this case, we're going to make it so easy. If you call in and have any element of the song or what it might be associated with, even in this case, we just haven't had a winner in a while, so we're just trying to make it, you know, a gimme. So just correctly identify any aspect of the song, what it reminds you of. If you happen to know the song, this title, and why it would be a Name That Animal Tune, you'll get bonus points. But we're going to make it really easy. So as soon as you recognize any aspect of this, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. If you're the first to do so, you have your choice of all those fabulous prizes I mentioned earlier in the show. Okay, let's get started. It's Talking Owls. It's Name That Animal Tune at KUCI.
Well, now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, setting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
All right, can anyone name that animal tune? How about who's singing it? How about what it reminds you of? How about now? Come on. This is like who's buried in Grant's tomb, and his name is Grant. All right. Well, at any rate, I'm Duncan Strauss, who's just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. All right, here's a little more. This guy sound familiar? That voice sound familiar? The song sound familiar? The whistling sound familiar? All right. If we don't hook a perch or bass, we'll cool our toes in deep. All right, so it is really towards the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. As I say, I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, the University of California Board of Regents. I want to thank again our guest Cheryl Barnes for joining us today on Talking Animals. Again, the book is President Adams, Alligator, and Other White House Pets. Also want to thank you all for listening. for our one phone caller, and we always love it when we get calls. So if it's one, it's great. If it's more than one, it's great. Sometimes if it's nobody, well, that can be great in its own way, too, I suppose. But we love to get calls here at Talking Animals. So I hope you'll join us next week on Talking Animals when our guest will be Tammy Grimes, founder of Dogs Deserve Better, a national education legislation rescue organization dedicated to freeing chained and penned dogs and bringing them into the home. And, of course, we'll also have some information or commentary or other coverage of the PAWS War on Wildlife Conference being held this week at the 2,300-acre sanctuary, ARC 2000 in San Andreas, California. So either way, we hope you'll join us for that next week, Monday, May 24th, on Talking Animals. And by the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone the Serena Sharp Show, which, of course, precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m., we offer a Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's a great public affairs program and talk shows like this virtually each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again, from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. So when you have a chance, please check that out. And again, I want to urge you to check out our website. It's talkinganimals.net. It's .net, folks. And when you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email me with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics or songs or comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And really, really look forward to hearing from you. So, as always, now, though, we're going to close things out with an animal song, an animal-related tune. This is Stephen Malcolmus and the Jicks with a song called Do Not Feed the Oyster. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. It's a great, great blues show here on KUCI. And this has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. And please, be kind to animals, be kind to others, be kind to yourself.
Came here only yesterday from the worst place on the earth. In this evil Everglades, you find no peace of mind. Watch out for the marsh shark, rip off your behind. Yeah.
Hi, this is Knockout Greg from Knockout Greg and Blue Weather. And you're listening to Jeff Scott, infecting you with the blues disease.
Yeah, go. The blue left home. We ain't seen him no more. If the blue